As was earlier announced, the scripture reading this evening will be coming from 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Again, that's 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And I'll be reading from the book, the New King James Version. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Again, that was 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11.
What a powerful passage that is in 2 John, one that we're all familiar with. And the problem is that most people in the religious world really don't understand the significance of it. And that might even be true with more and more brethren. That is the truth that doctrine really matters. Most people think that it really doesn't matter what you teach. As long as you're living the way you ought to, as long as you believe in Jesus, then that is really all that matters. And yet we find in this passage of Scripture that that is not the case. Doctrine is important. And we should always recognize that here at Brown Street. We should always realize the significance of the doctrine of Christ. And how evil false doctrine is. That is, the evil consequences of false doctrine. And you can't really miss it here in 2 John. Only one chapter, of course. But in chapter 1, again at verse 9, it says, watch yourselves so that... Reading the wrong chapter. It doesn't say watch yourself, does it? Let's get this back over to chapter 1 here. 1 John instead of 2 John. Reading from the ESV, of course, it reads just a little bit differently. Verse 9, it says, let's see here. Am I confusing myself? 2 John. Did I hear a yeah up there? Oh, my goodness. Let's get this here together here. 2 John. Chapter 1 and verse 9. There it is. I thought I was there before, but I wasn't. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. And I want us to focus on that first part just for a minute there. Everyone who goes on ahead. The King James says that those who transgress. And the word transgress simply means, as most of you know, to go beyond. Go beyond what is legal. And so it's to go on unauthorized ground. The Greek word carries with it the idea of progressing beyond a legal point. And when you think about those who are teaching false doctrine, many times they view themselves as being progressives, even back in the day when churches of Christ were dividing over the musical instrument issue. Those who were accepting musical instruments, they were referred to as progressives. And they had a pretty negative attitude towards those who were teaching we need to simply sing, we need to simply do what they did in the Bible. They often said that we were anti-progressive. But that's the very idea here in 2 John. The idea of going beyond, the idea of transgressing is to progress. They might like to call themselves progressives, but that they don't realize what really they're saying. They're calling themselves a name that points to the very violation that John is condemning here by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be progressive when it comes down to the Word of God. when it comes down to the doctrine of Christ, when it comes down to the gospel, we don't want to be progressive at all. We have to abide in the teaching of Christ. And of course, again, the denominational world, they never have really taken this idea seriously, because they believe, many, many people believe, as you know, simply in faith alone. And as long as, again, you believe the right thing, that's all that is necessary. And yet, again, we find that leads people to violate the Word of God. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in spiritually. And then brethren come along and they decide that they want unity in diversity. And so they begin to have a little twist, even on this particular passage of Scripture. They like to say, well, the teaching that he is talking about here in 2 John is the teaching about Jesus. And we would admit that in this context, John is dealing with something that was being taught about Jesus. No doubt about that. Most of you know, you have studied enough to know that in the first century, they really struggled with Gnosticism, and a part of the Gnostic doctrine was denying that Christ came in the flesh. There were the Cerinthian Gnostics who claimed that Jesus was the product of a natural birth by Mary and Joseph, and then the Christ came upon him at his baptism and then left him right before the cross. And so they really were denying that Christ had come in the flesh. And there's many places in the Bible where that sort of doctrine is condemned, though they don't name it. John doesn't name it specifically. He doesn't refer to Gnosticism. The truth is, the full doctrine didn't develop until the second century. But even in John's day, there were people teaching that. And he refers to them as Antichrist. And so that is really what he is dealing with specifically in this context. But that doesn't mean, as you stop and think about the doctrine or the teaching of Christ in verse 9, we can't just limit it to that. In other words, they like to come along and say what John is really saying is the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ is just the teaching about him. And sometimes they'll stretch it out to mean the teaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And as long as you believe in that, you're okay. All other doctrinal issues, worrying about musical instruments or worrying about the organization of the church or the work of the church or various ideas about the Holy Spirit or even the oneness about the church, all teachings really that deal with the church, you don't have to worry yourself about any of that. Just believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he came in the flesh and that he died for our sins and was buried and raised again on the third day. And as long as you accept that, you're okay. And that's the doctrine that John is talking about. But most people, really, when you stop and think about it, most denominations even would reject that. Like if you think that that's what he's talking about here at the beginning of verse 9, then you do pretty much have to come to the conclusion that anyone who believes that will be saved. Because the doctrine of Christ isn't mentioned just once in verse 9, it's mentioned twice. So the first part of it in verse 9 says, watch yourself, or everyone who... That's where I got off on the first time, didn't it? I read verse 8. Did you guys catch that? I didn't. I thought it was verse 9. Anyway, verse 9. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. That's number one. That person what? Doesn't have God. So we know right now, whatever that teaching is, it is very significant that you abide in it. You can't just say, oh, it doesn't matter as long as I do this one thing or that. No, if you don't abide in this teaching, again, whatever it is, you do not have God. So this is very serious. But in the second part of the verse, it tells us that whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So follow this now. if the teaching here is only the teaching about Jesus, then every single person who has ever lived, who accepts the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is saved and is going to go to heaven. Even denominational churches don't believe that. Maybe the only ones who would believe that would be the universalist, and that's not really even a church, it's just a belief. But no one really believes that. But you have to be consistent. Whatever you say the teaching is referring to in 2 John verse 9, the first time, it's what it's referring to the second time. Is it dealing only with the teaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the fact that he came into the flesh? No. Would it comprehend that? Of course. And John is talking specifically to this audience that he is referring to in a place where Gnosticism was really taking over in a lot of places and people were buying into it. He was dealing with this idea of denying that Christ was coming in the flesh. But is that all the teaching of Christ refers to? Like even in the Bible, how is that phrase, the teachings of Christ or the doctrine of Christ, how is it used? Well, we don't have to guess. Turn your Bible over to Matthew chapter 7 in the great Sermon on the Mount. You remember what was said as that sermon came to a close? Probably the greatest body of teaching we have in the Bible. In fact, you could take that probably out of it. It no doubt, the Sermon on the Mount, the longest sermon we have from Jesus, and of course Jesus was the greatest teacher who ever lived. This is the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. Sermon on the Mount. And when he finished in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 28, it says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd were astonished at what? At his teaching. The King James says, at his doctrine. Those things mean the same thing. I like the King James saying doctrine simply because that's what a lot of denominational folks are saying. It's not important. Doctrine is not important. Or doctrine there in 2 John, that's just referring to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But now think about this on the Sermon on the Mount. Wouldn't we conclude that his doctrine is the doctrine of Christ? Of course we would. And yet when you go through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't say anything in the Sermon on the Mount about his death, burial, and resurrection. It was about citizenship in the kingdom of God. And so he didn't deal with that. And yet they refer to all of that teaching as his teaching. What is his teaching? It's the doctrine of Christ. The teaching of Christ. You remember in Matthew chapter 22, the situation where the scribes and the Pharisees were trying their best to entrap Jesus. And so they were testing him and asking him questions, hoping that he would condemn himself. And we find that the Sadducees had the last shot at him. First, the Sadducees tried and they failed, and the Pharisees tried and failed, and then the Sadducees tried again. And this had to do, the last section, verses beginning at verse 23. We'll not read the whole thing. Matthew 22 at verse 23 is when they again attempt to entrap him. And of course, the Sadducees, you recall, was the group that denied the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection. So Jesus, in this context, he proves and demonstrates that there will be a resurrection, that we don't cease to die, or to exist rather, when we die. Because God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so it was great teaching that Jesus set forth. And those standing by were listening to all of this. And at verse 3 it says, and when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at what? At his teaching. Or again, the King James, his doctrine. What was his teaching here? The teaching of Christ, wasn't it? His teaching referred to what? The doctrine of Christ. It didn't have to do with His own resurrection. He was dealing with the general resurrection. But that's a part of the doctrine of Christ. And the truth is, that's just how that phrase is used. Not only of Jesus, but of other groups. If you turn over to Revelation just for a moment. In Revelation chapter 2 and at verse 15. Revelation 2. And let's read verse 14 first. Revelation 2 at verse 14 says, "But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam." What do you suppose that was? The teaching that told you all about Balaam and his life? No. It was what he was teaching. How do we know that? Listen to the rest of it. It says, once again, but that there are some there that hold the teaching of Balaam, who did what? Who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel. What was the teaching of Balaam? It was what he taught. In the very next verse, he warns them at verse 15. And so also, you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. What was that? It's what they taught. So my point is very simple. If the teaching of the Nicolaitans was what they taught, if the teaching of Baal is what he taught, if the teaching of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount is what he taught, then what is the teaching of Christ in 2 John verse 9? Is it not what he taught? It's the teachings of Christ. And while John, writing to a specific people about a specific situation, while he was making a point, we have to, as Christians, extrapolate that to apply to all the teachings of Christ. If not, why not? It's the only way we can understand the Bible. Like I think I told you last week, we need to understand that there is a sense in which the entire New Testament comes to us by way of necessary inference. It was all written to specific people at a specific time, in specific situations. But it all applies to God's people of all times. And so we need to make application. I'll give you an example of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're talking about the work of the church on Wednesday night, in our Wednesday night Bible study. And in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is talking about the collection of the saints. It's amazing that brethren sometimes have made the argument, well, you know, Paul there is talking to those people about a specific situation. That is, relieving the poor saints in Jerusalem. Yes, no doubt about that. But what do we learn from that passage? When we extend it out to apply to us, what we learn is how it is that whenever there is a need that the church has with regard to the work of the church, we know how to raise money for it. It's by the first day of the week offering. And simply coming along and say, well, yeah, but that, no, he was just talking about relieving poor saints in Jerusalem. Yes, that was their need at that time. We have a need now. How do we raise money for it? The same way God commanded, Paul commanded in 1 Corinthians 16, by the first day of the week offering. And that's just Bible study. That's how you interpret the Bible. That's how we know what work we are supposed to do and how we are to live our lives. And so when John says here that if you don't abide in the teaching of Christ, it may well be true that he was talking specifically about those who were denying Christ come in the flesh. But what exactly is the doctrine of Christ? It's not just that. It's his teaching. And his teaching, by the way, is not just what he taught when he was here on earth. The teachings of Christ has to do with all that he taught through his ambassadors, the apostles. In other words, the teachings of Christ make up the New Testament. This is the teaching of Christ. And when John says we must not go beyond the teaching of Christ, that's the truth we must get from it. We must not go beyond the Word of God, beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must abide in the gospel of Christ. And it doesn't matter what your preacher or pastor or professor tells you. Oh, you can do whatever. Just as long as you believe in Jesus, that just doesn't square with this passage of Scripture. Doctrine is important. Doctrine matters. Yes, how you live matters. In fact, I wouldn't deny, even in all of this, again, your living would be included in the doctrine of Christ. Like, did not Jesus in the New Testament teach us how to live our lives? Of course he did. And so abiding in the teaching of Christ means that we teach only what he and his inspired apostles teach, and also that we live the way they taught us to live. And that was under consideration even in Acts chapter 2 at verse 42 when it says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That would encompass what they taught and how they lived. We have to live by this book. We have to abide by this book, by the doctrine of Christ, both in what we teach and how we live. And if we don't, what happens? We do not have God. If we do, then we have both the Father and the Son. And so this passage becomes critical. And not only from the standpoint of us, ourselves, and how we're going to live and what we're going to teach. And even, listen, even what we believe. We must believe the doctrine of Christ. And when you don't believe, when you believe something other than the doctrine of Christ, that will get you into trouble. You know, you can lose your soul. This is not the case in every situation. But it is true that you can lose your soul by believing the wrong thing. If you don't believe, for example, that Jesus is God, there are a lot of people who don't believe that. That's a part of the doctrine of Christ. Jehovah Witnesses don't. Jehovah Witnesses think he's Michael the Archangel. They don't believe in his deity. It doesn't matter what else they do and how they live. They cannot be right with God if they reject the deity of Christ. Muslims, they think Jesus was a good man, even a prophet, but he's not God. And so you see, sometimes what you believe even will cause you not to have the Father and the Son. So we need to take doctrine very seriously. We need to take the teaching of Christ very seriously. We need to believe it. We need to live by it. We need to make sure we teach it and only it. Or else we have not God. And it's so serious, as we turn one more time to 2 John, he continues in the text, he says at verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. So it becomes an issue of fellowship as well, doesn't it? And yeah, you, of course, in this context, he's warning them. One of these people come along and tell you that Christ didn't come in the flesh, and that Christ just fell upon him at his baptism and went away before the cross. Don't entertain that person. But again, by extrapolation, we understand that that is applicable to all of the teachings of Christ. Anyone who doesn't abide in the teaching of Christ, we should have no fellowship with. In fact, he goes on to say, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. And so again, this becomes even a fellowship issue. It's how important it is to God. Doctrine is important. As time goes on in the religious world, more and more people grow weary of doctrinal battles and standing for the truth and that sort of thing. And more people think, well, just live and let live. If you believe in Jesus, that's good. That's all you have to worry about. But we don't ever want to take that approach here at Brown Street. We want to remember always what John says. Whoever transgresseth, progresses beyond the legal point of Scripture, does not abide in the Word of God, that person doesn't have God. And we need to take that seriously. As far as fellowship goes, I've always said we should fellowship anyone who's in fellowship with God. If someone's not in fellowship with God, we shouldn't be in fellowship with them. And now we know those who don't abide in the doctrine of Christ aren't in fellowship with God. That tells us what we should do. Let's take doctrine very, very seriously. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? I'll tell you what is a part of the doctrine of Christ is that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. Jesus himself, you want to talk about the teaching of Jesus. Mark 16 at verse 16. He that believeth and what? And is baptized shall be saved. That's the teaching of Christ. If you haven't believed in Jesus, you're lost. If you haven't been baptized, maybe you believed in Jesus, but you haven't been baptized. According to Jesus himself, his own teaching, you're still lost. But you can fix that. It's easy. You can fix it this very night. There's water right behind me. You can be baptized in a matter of moments. It's not a difficult thing to do. Why not obey the gospel? Maybe you didn't come here tonight to put on Christ in the waters of baptism. That, by the way, is exactly what happens, Galatians 3 at verse 27. You're putting on Christ and being baptized into Him, where all spiritual blessings are located, Ephesians 1 and at verse 3. Maybe you didn't come here tonight to do that, but here you are. If you're outside the ark of safety, do something about it. You can become a new creature in Christ this very night. And there's nothing more important than that. We hope you'll respond. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.